Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to the man who humbly and graciously accepted the 2002 Small Business Journalist of the Year Award.
Who's the man? Who's the man?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. Thank you very much for joining me today. Thanks for hanging around. I'm excited about our guest this half hour. Governor Pete DuPont is with us, ladies and gentlemen. In addition to being a former governor, two-term governor of the great state of Delaware, he's also a U.S. congressman. He was in 1998, he was a Republican candidate for president of the United States. Currently, among other things, he's policy chairman at the National Center for Policy Analysis. He's just a great American, an incredible leader that America should be real proud of, and I know I am. But more importantly for me, he's our friend. Governor DuPont, welcome back to the show.
Well, Jim, thank you. Man, that introduction, this must be the last day of the year. you've been saving that up all year long.
I've been practicing it all week, yeah.
Well, you're nice to have me back again, and it is the last day of the year, kind of a chance to reflect and look ahead. I know you're a big prediction maker. You're probably going to be able to tell us what's going to happen in 2004.
Well, I've got my, I'm just arrogant enough to think that I kind of know what's going on, but I do make predictions every year. In fact, my newsletter coming up this Sunday will be published, and my newspaper column will be published with my predictions for 2004. But let's look back at 2003, and I can think of nobody better to sort of help us sum up what happened in 2003 and to help us to understand why, what happened, how we can get the most out of what happened. You actually published an article, Governor, in the WallStreetJournal.com in your column you call Outside of the Box, you took a look at the year in review. Won't you give us an idea of some things that you thought were the most noteworthy in 2003?
Well, first, as you go along in life, week by week, month by month, you kind of think not much is changing. You're just doing your job. You're getting this done. You're getting that done. But when you look back over the perspective of the year, 2003 was really amazing. We had tremendous economic growth that nobody thought was going to happen. We were very pessimistic at the beginning of the year. And yet, everything's up. The Dow Jones Index is up. Productivity's up. The annual growth rate in the economy's up. And that, of course, is a result of the Bush tax cuts, and you'd have thought everyone would have recognized that. I mean, John F. Kennedy did it, mm-hmm. and it worked. Ronald Reagan did the tax mm-hmm. cuts, and they worked. And now George Bush has done the tax cuts, and they worked.
Why are there people who are surprised about this? It's amazing, isn't it?
Well, it is amazing, but, that's one of the other things that's changing. Michael Barone, the political scholar who writes a book every other year about mm-hmm. About politics and all the people in Washington, what they voted for and so forth, his belief is that there's a change going on between what he calls the old Franklin Roosevelt liberalism that older people grew up with mm-hmm. and kind of internet individualism, which if you talk to people in the 20s, if you can understand their conversation about the internet, you see that they think very differently. The older people are more, well, government will take care of it. Let's let government do it. The younger people are saying, what do you mean let's let government do it? We can go online. We can buy this. We can talk about that. Mm-hmm. We can go onto a blogger site. So the generational change between older Americans of the Roosevelt-type thinking and younger Americans of internet-type thinking, I think that's the most significant change we saw in 2003.
Really? And do you think that you know what, that is another reason why that kind of what you just described was a kind of individuality, a fierce individuality, a self-determined type of attitude that I think is another example of why I've been for the last 3 or 4 years I've been calling the 21st century the century of the entrepreneur. And when I say that, folks, as you know, I don't mean entrepreneur necessarily in the ownership way. I mean, you can be an entrepreneur and not own a business. You can be an entrepreneur and be an employee. You can be an entrepreneur and be a government employee. It's all in the way you think. And Governor, what you just described to me was a whole generation of entrepreneurs.
Oh, I think that's right. And I think, you know, all you need to do is go online and see. If the first example is Amazon, it's a lot easier to buy books on Amazon than to go down to your local bookstore and hunt them out.
Right.
Now, probably some of your small business bookstore owners are going to be worried about that statement, but it's a generational change. I mean, I go down to bookstores. I talk to my kids, and they say, bookstores, geez, click on Amazon, and you can buy it. And that's a generational change that really is going to have an impact.
Well, what I think is happening that we're seeing is a transition. If 2003 was anything, it's a transition year. And I want to talk about this some more with our good friend, Governor Pete DuPont. Right after these messages, it's 20 till. Stay with us, please. I don't feel so good. We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our good friend, Governor Pete DuPont, and we're talking about some of the thoughts that he has about 2003. Governor, one of the things that you put into words very well was your thoughts on what you call the preemptive war in Iraq, and I think it was preemptive. And a lot of people fail to use that term to modify the war in Iraq, the preemptive word, because I really believe, Governor, that what President Bush said when he said we got a choice, we can either fight them here or we can fight them over there.
Mm-hmm. Well, this isn't the first preemptive use of American military force. Franklin Roosevelt, just before the beginning of World War II, when the German submarines were looking around to sink American ships in the Atlantic, and this is before war broke out, this is before Pearl Harbor, Roosevelt sent the Navy destroyers out and said, if you find the German submarines, you know, attack them before they attack us.
Yeah.
Well, that's a very small example, but that's the same theory that George Bush has put into effect. If we don't go over and preempt these terrorists on their soil while they're getting ready to attack us, their attacks are going to be successful, like the one on 9/11 was. So the preemptive doctrine is kind of a new thing in American politics and American policy. And when the president outlined it at his speech in West Point a couple of years ago, everyone was aghast. But as you say, when you're dealing with a bully, you can't just talk nice to him. You got to punch him in the nose. And Bush sees that. And I think it's going to mean a safer America, though, as we see from politics, it's a very controversial thing.
Well, you know what I believe? I'm going to make a 100-year prediction here, Governor, if you think I don't have an ego. My 100-year prediction is that the history books will show that by the end of the 21st century, one of the most pivotal moments in world peace happened when George Bush didn't let... When he stood up to the terrorists, when he stood up to Saddam Hussein, I think what will happen is ironically the earthquake in Iran will help us to open up normalizing relationships with those guys. We've already seen the fall of Libya's determination to harm peaceful people. I think Syria will be next, and then Saudi Arabia. I think Saudi Arabia could be one of the most dangerous places in the world over the next 10 years.
Well, one of the interesting things is the terrorists are starting to attack in Saudi Arabia.
Their own people, yeah.
Their own people, and Saudi Arabia has been, kind of one foot on each side of the line in
right.
some of this. They never said a word when Saddam was captured. I mean, the silence
right.
was deafening. But they're beginning to feel this too, and I think in Europe they're going to begin to feel the terrorist pressure, and I think we're going to end up with most of Western civilization and some Arab countries saying, you know, America, you're doing the right thing, and we're going to help you do it.
Yeah, and much to the chagrin of Chirac and Schroeder in France and Germany.
Well, Don Rumsfeld was right. There's an old Europe and a new Europe, and I think even France and Germany already is beginning to say to themselves, you know, maybe we better pay a little more attention here. But who knows? The French may come to their senses in the end as well.
One of the things that you pointed out, which is one of the worst things that happened in 2003, was what has happened to the Republican and the Democrat Party. And I read what you wrote, Governor, and I've been thinking about my own thoughts about this, and I've decided that I'm not sure which is worse, a tax and spend Democrat Party or a tax cutting but still spending Republican Party. Which is worse? I'm not sure.
Well, that's a hard choice, but this is the first this past couple of years been the first time since 1953 that the Republican Party has controlled both houses of Congress and the presidency. I mean, that's a long time. That's 50 years.
That's right.
And the spending policies of the Republican Party have been, I think, way excessive. The farm bills, this new health care bill the president signed is going to be the most expensive thing since Social Security, and that's going to be a problem for the next couple of generations. So the Republicans have got to get their act in gear. But worse, as you say, both parties have become protectionist, and I would never have guessed that. You know, Winston Churchill said long ago that every individual ought to be able to go out and buy the products they want from the sellers they want to deal with and want to buy from. And that's the way the world prospers. That's the way people have better choice. That's the way small business succeeds. But when you start putting in protectionist statutes and programs that keep goods out of America, the steel tariffs being the best example, that's a bad thing. And the whole Democratic Party is for it, except for Joe Lieberman, among presidential candidates. President Bush seems to be for it, and somehow we've got to turn that around in 2004.
Well, I agree with you, and I'm going to go back to what Frederick Bastiat, the 19th century French economist, said. This is one of my favorite quotes. He said, "When goods cross borders, armies don't." And I'm going to say this about China, and I've said this many times before. Capitalism will conquer China long before democracy ever could.
Well, that's good, that's true. You know, you remember back in the
Governor. Hold on to that thought. I've got to take a quick break here. We're going to come right back to that when we after these messages, and we're also going to talk about a great American that was a good friend of the governor's. When we come back to after these messages, we recently lost a great American, and we'll tell you who that is and what his contribution was after these messages. Tintel, stay with us. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget, if you subscribe to my newsletter this week, you get my resolutions. And next week, when the article comes, when the newsletter comes, by email, by the way, and it's free, you'll have my predictions, including my summary of what I predicted last year and how well I did. And so it's interesting, but I also have a little fun with it. So check that out when you get a chance. You can subscribe for free, jbsba.com. Governor, the NCPA has a website. It's an outstanding website. Would you give us that, please?
NCPA is the National Center for Policy Analysis, a think tank in Dallas, and it's just ncpa.org. John Goodman, who put it together 20 years ago and does all the heavy lifting in the thought department, he just did a piece for the Wall Street Journal on the new health savings accounts that are in the Medicare bill that President Bush signed a couple of weeks ago. Most of the listeners, I would guess, have IRAs that they put their money into, 401ks, and that money saves up and gains an interest and grows in the stock market so that when we retire, we have some retirement income. Well, now, starting tomorrow, We're going to be able to do that with health care savings accounts. And you can put money in, as you start out as a 20-year-old working, and thus when you get old and you really need health care, you'll have tens of thousands of dollars, maybe hundreds of thousands of dollars saved up in there to take care of your heart transplant, to take care of your medical needs, and that's a huge step forward that's been made by the president signing that law, and it's going to change the way we can take care of ourselves as we get older.
It's going to change the marketplace, Governor, and the reason I think it will is because this will give more tools, more capability, more self-determination for entrepreneurs. See, these HSAs are the next step towards portable health care benefits.
Oh, absolutely. And instead of the government under Medicare deciding what drug you can have and how much knee surgery is going to cost, you're going to be able to make your own decision about where to buy your drugs, about what surgery to have, about what doctor to talk to. And having the financial power and the resources to do that is going to improve everyone's life. That's going to be a huge change in America in the next couple of years.
Unfortunately, we only got it on the back of a very expensive Medicare bill, which, as you point out in your article, they're predicting it's going to cost $400 billion, but that's probably just for starters.
Well, that's probably off. Historically, predictions like that are off by a factor of 7 to 9 times.
Yeah.
So it's not going to be 400. It's going to be,
trillions.
A couple of $1 trillion.
Yeah, could very well be. You know, speaking of IRAs, individual retirement accounts, there's something that we all benefit from now, many of us benefit from now, called the Roth IRA, and it was designed and proposed and gotten into law by a great American, Senator Bill Roth, who I know was one of your friends and your mentor. Tell us a little bit about him.
Well, he was a United States senator and a congressman put together for 34 years, he was the guy who ran the studies about the $900 toilet seats in the Defense Department work. He had hearings on why the Internal Revenue Service was such a nasty bunch of people and helped make them a little more responsive to taxpayers. And, of course, he put in the Roth IRA, which allows us to save for our future. And, tens of millions of Americans have one. And Bill, unfortunately, died at 82 years of age a couple of weeks ago. And he really was an institution. And our hope is that some other senator will step up and take that concept forward, the idea that we ought to help people increase their own wealth through savings accounts. And Bill is a terrific guy and a very good friend of mine, and we'll miss him.
Well, absolutely. But you know what? We have to celebrate having had him as a leader in America for all that time. And I'm celebrating right now having you as a leader in America, Governor. I appreciate your time with us. I appreciate your service to America, and I hope that you have many more years of service to us.
Well, you're very kind to have me on the program, and I look forward to your predictions for next year, and I'm going to write them all down, and a year from now we'll talk again.
Thank you, Governor. Oh, we're going to talk before then. I'm not going to let you get away from it. Happy New Year.
Right.
Happy New Year, Governor DuPont.
Happy New Year.
See you later. Got to go for this hour, but don't forget, I'll be here New Year's Day, 7th in a row. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'll be right back. More show to come after these messages.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.